Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This is The Potty with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
Welcome back to the wild world of women. It's the Trim Healthy Podcast, and I'm with two of the wildest, in my opinion. I have a question for these wild women.
I'm full of my yuck yum, that's what I know.
Was that full?
Three quarters.
That doesn't give you like diarrhea or anything?
Oh, no.
Denny, I do recall you saying that you got a little of the D word with the water kefir, and maybe you made it wrong, but I'm not too familiar with water kefir yet. But have you actually home fermented the milk kefir yet?
I've never done the milk, no.
Okay, so don't associate the word diarrhea with milk kefir for everybody, please.
Okay. Oh, because that's not a thing.
No.
It's not a thing. Well,
it can heal the diarrhea.
It can.
Unless people are real toxic.
Yeah.
And they just need to go slow.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. If you got some germs in there fighting the kefir, they might.
It's just making up like a bit of a sword match, you know, probably.
So what that war looks like is diarrhea.
It can look different for different people. So actually, sometimes you'll get the constipation instead at first until things regulate.
Yeah.
Depends what sort of bowel problems you're prone to.
Okay. That wasn't my question, actually.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I got distracted.
We always love to start.
Are we going to keep this fireplace in the summer, this picture? It's just so warm and cozy.
Yeah, we have a fireplace on a TV behind us in the studio.
They probably can see it.
Just for the aesthetic.
No, they can't see it, Serene. There is no camera on it.
There's a camera on him. It could be seen.
Oh, that's true. There's a camera
see
on Danny.
See how smart I am.
But yeah, go ahead, Dan.
So I'm just curious how you both did over the holidays in terms of dessert.
Oh, eating.
I had a goji berry in my tooth.
That's how Serene
now
did.
Now we have
that's
the
how
camera
Serene
on
did.
Me. I feel like I can't quite maneuver the goji berry out properly.
I think you should get after it.
I would. That camera on there, I'd be like.
like as we talk, that's the B-roll.
But Dan, you want to ask us so you can share too. But okay, no, since you. Because that's what I do. I ask questions so I can
like,
answer.
I have a question for you so that I could have my own therapy session.
Yeah. Okay, so how did I do? Because we know how Serene did. Serene always just, well, I'll let her speak for herself. For me, okay. So it was an interesting year. I feel like it was, I'm really proud of Pearl this year because she didn't lose her mind with the cinnamon rolls, but she did enjoy. Okay, so what happens was I've shared here on the podcast that cinnamon rolls are like kryptonite for me.
They're your weakness.
I don't
love the THM healthy ones. It's just that all your family brings bad ones Christmas morning.
I shall actually explain it.
Shut up, Serene.
Thank you. Yeah, in the past, so we have a very big traditional, kind of almost southern breakfast at my home where the whole family comes together, all the grannies, all the children, and that's our time. And we do a huge, huge breakfast. That's like our big thing.
And you all wear your PJs.
Yeah, we wear our PJs. So this year, my precious daughter-in-law, Mary, made the most amazing southern white cinnamon rolls, sugar included, okay? She brought those. Then my daughter Autumn made the most amazing sourdough teff, no sugar cinnamon rolls.
Are amazing. She gave me a whole.
So there they were on the table and all the other things like the eggs and all the crossover, pretty much healthy things. But there were those two things before me. Which of them should I choose? Okay. Teff? Well, it was Christmas. My precious daughter-in-law, Mary, made those with love. Okay?
There's
lots of other people who love them.
So what I did, and they were huge. I got one and I cut half and I put it on my plate and then I got a full one of Autumn's because I was eating big.
Yeah.
And so that's what I did.
Because you like volume.
I do like volume and it was Christmas. And so I ate half of a sugar one.
Okay.
And because I had the other full complete one, I did not lose my mind. I could say to Mary, these are incredible. And I enjoyed and they were made with love and it was part of my beautiful Christmas. And then I ate Autumn's one with all the health and the goodness nourishing my body. And I was so sustained and I didn't lose my mind for the rest of the day.
Oh, that's so
great.
Yeah.
Glory.
Well, but now do share about thyself, Danny.
Well, is Serene next though? Or?
No, Danny.
We know how she's done.
She flawlessly executed she knows, start to finish.
We know how Serene does.
Yeah, we already.
She has never been off plan. There hasn't been a time.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
don't say crossovers. You do enjoy
it. I know crossovers are on plan.
So why go to her for this?
Yeah, there's no need. There's good no job, need. Serene, this holiday season. Again, gold star. Teacher's pet, in fact. Are you your mother's favorite? I thought so.
Yes, breastfed actually.
Last 5 days.
Actually, yeah, you asked all us kids, we would say that. But
yeah, no. Serene was fave. She doesn't act like she's fave, though, at all. Ever.
But do share, because I've actually got some meat coming today.
Yeah, okay. Well, I blew it.
Oh, you did.
No, I don't want to say I blew it.
Jeremiah wants somebody to blow it along
from
with
the crowd
him.
Here. No, I didn't blow it. I think, you know how cinnamon rolls are your weakness?
Yeah.
I have a weakness called Coca-Cola Classic.
Ah!
No.
And the fact that it has the word classic in it makes it even harder for me because it's a because I like
deceptive
classic.
Deceptive advertising, you can't see through that?
I know. It's nothing classic about it in reality. But... The thing is if I'm
the
somewhere...
The lowliness.
No, but Serene, I understand it. A lot of people like my son-in-law and stuff, they feel like that's the good part of America. You know?
Like the good old
Which
days.
Son?
Yeah.
So I can
yeah.
take him off of
no,
my
No, not
wheel.
My son. My son-in-law. It's the good part John's of America.
Face. And, John's
they,
face.
And Kendall. They don't even... They don't sense the sugar. It's just the classic.
John didn't even know anyone was looking at him. He's just wincing in the corner but about...
Sovereign John, you're wincing along with me.
Yeah, but let him tell, Serene. Okay. Let him share his hardship.
Enough of your wincing.
Enough of the poison, but even the name. I mean, let's go there, John.
Serene's nose furled. Enough.
I didn't furl, so you share it to me,
Here's
Danny.
The thing. I won't ever buy Coca-Cola Classic.
Right.
It will never see my cart. But if I'm somewhere and I don't fall by the 2 liters either.
Oh,
because when those 2 liters crack open, that first pour might be fine. As soon as it hits the ice or as soon as it's sat there for a minute, not interested either. Yeah.
You like a Schweppes, don't you?
A Schweppes?
And in its own
bubble.
Bottle, right? Its own if little curved bottle.
If someone pulls an ice cold glass bottle out of ice and they go, I'm done.
He's all pulled by the advertising. You know, you go see to the cinema and you hear that chica through all of the speakers all
me.
Around you.
That one gets me too. And I won't
You're
running.
At the altar call of the Coca-Cola. I'm
yeah, surprised. I sort of do rush to the cinematic altar call. Yeah, on the cinema, that one's hard, man. It's bubbling and it's all ASMR and it fills the screen with Coke,
Put
you know?
A kombucha right there, right? Oh. Right, John? A homemade sovereign kombucha in a copper vessel. Chica!
Chica!
I mean, you've got Volcano and Schweppes. Like it's just... Bucci
Yeah,
fire.
So I was at a Mexican restaurant and
on Christmas Day?
No.
Okay. I mean, I know you love your heritage, but
not that much. Over the holiday season, and I was having water, and a friend was in town. He just moved here, and he had a tall, and it was in a Coca-Cola glass, Ooh. One of the big wide mouth glasses, and it was full to the top with ice.
Is this health podcast going to be
listen,
all crazy?
Just let him share. Wow.
You
Stop
could
butting
tell
in.
That these Mexicans knew what they were doing with the Coke, okay? And they do.
Do they all have like hair pushed back, suave like you? Like you've got the hair, like, I just realized what he's done.
Okay, but we need to get to the end of the story, Serene, so let's listen. I'm interested to know because I hope there's a good ending. Yeah.
I don't think there is, but
That's what I'm saying.
So he ordered a second Coke, and by the time he got to his second Coke, what it did to me mentally, I went, well, if he can have two, I'm going to be sane. And now I can order one. This was like after the meal was over. And I was like, and I haven't had a dessert. Mm-hmm. And so it's the holiday. This whole train of thoughts came. And let me tell you, it was the best Coke that I've ever had in my life because I haven't had one in so long. Mm-hmm. And it was so, so good. And
John and I can hardly have
No, but I'm saying if that was your Christmas off plan thing, that's okay. Or did it derail you? That's what I'm trying to find out. Or were you just able to have that and say, hey, occasionally or on celebrations, I could do this.
I just say that pop is a different sinister deal than just a quarter of a cinnamon roll. And I'm telling you why, because it's liquid carb, number one. And how many teaspoons of sugar goes into pop?
You're coming.
48.
But still, Serene, you're coming from a place
amount of sugar.
Where you've never drank pop. You people are listening today.
That's what I'm trying to say. I'm talking to the addicts. They may have been free for 5 years. You know, it's like Pop Anonymous.
No, I know, but I guess we're saying different things where my thing might have been to have a bit of cinema, or someone else's thing, like Danny, might be to have that Coke.
I know. Okay. And I'm coming from the extreme side, purist side, so just bear with me. But to me, it's like, okay, you finally get off cigarettes. You're never really going to go back and have a cigarette on a Christmas morning. It's like there are treats that are off plan, and then there's just downright poison.
You know what will get me too? Is somebody smoking a cigar.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, now, Dan.
Okay, but I'm just
fix
admitting.
The pod, bro.
I'm trying to fix the podcast. Okay. So right now this podcast is broken. So let's fix it.
Can I pray over the podcast?
Danny, was that you said you blew it, but did you blow it, or were you able to enjoy that and then get back to your healthy earth food ways?
I blew it.
Because you're holding shame for that.
I blew it multiple times.
Oh, okay.
Throughout.
Do you know why? Because that pop did it.
Well, and
it does affect signals in your brain for the sugar and the
Pop
dopamine.
Anonymous. He has to go to Pop Anonymous meetings now.
Yeah. I mean, and John reminded me that like imagine like 10 spoonfuls of white sugar into
40,
your mouth.
40 something teaspoons.
Not, it's not 40.
Grams.
50 grams. Yeah. So
around 10.
And a can's pretty small. It's not those.
Imagine putting 10 tablespoons of white sugar in your mouth. I mean, cardiac arrest.
And
I mean,
especially that little quarter of a cinnamon roll. It was made from scratch.
Yeah.
Okay. That probably had like 4 teaspoons.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So,
big difference.
No, I'm just sort of like.
Were you able to get back your mind back? Were you able to hop back on the
dip? Just now.
Okay.
Have I regained sanity? And what happened was I just kept bloating.
Okay.
And bloating and bloating. And I would just have no.
The podcast is saved.
Yeah, I knew this.
I would
was
have
coming.
No energy. Yeah. And I would do it again. And then I would bloat and I would be like, these aren't my goals. And then I would think, I know. And I would drink my new kefir water that I've been making.
No wonder your kefir water was causing you to have some explosions. You just
no, that was for a friend I was asking for.
Okay. Yes, you've never exploded.
Never.
Not in the wool pack.
Context, everyone. We have this podcast thread where we all talk, you know, together about what time we're meeting or just random things. And Danny asked for a friend if could kefir water
on our chat,
cause explosive diarrhea, asking for a friend. But you were drinking the Coke around the same time.
Yeah, I was. And so I kept thinking that my good decisions would outweigh my bad. And I learned that doesn't happen in the realm of physics. Your good decisions don't, or at least they didn't for me in the terms of like my bloated gut.
Yeah.
And then I started getting this rollover, you know, and then it grew, and then I was watching it. So no longer was I just growing kefir on my counter. I was growing a belly over the flap of my pants.
Well, that's funny. Serene has a point in that. It pop a soda out of all things, out of all, even
like
stronger
beer.
Than food.
It's like you get pop belly.
It's like
exactly.
It's like the intensity of the sugar and how quickly it reaches your bloodstream.
The stress level
is so much faster to the undoing of your health than even food.
Well,
so.
Because you know those sugar spikes at extreme levels like that, you know they raise your cortisol, your stress hormone, and cortisol makes the added. Whatever you're going to store goes straight to the
But you know what's funny? We're talking like this podcast is like right after the holidays when this probably going to launch in March. But hey,
but who cares?
Hey there, people.
But we're so professional. But I just want to say this.
Because I've got some meat
But
to
I
bring.
Do want to bring, before the meat, as an appetite, as an hors d'oeuvre, a horse d'oeuvres.
An horse d'oeuvres.
Is that my daughter? You want to tell her that I'm in the pods?
That's great that the ring's still on during the podcast.
Yeah, because we're so professional, right?
Yeah.
No, but I do want people to hear us that we are all about being able to, I mean, there's so many healthy treats on our plant, but we're able to go and have a piece of Aunt Marge's pecan pie. Sure, right? But I just think there are levels, like John and I agree, and I think Pearl, you too. And now I think Dan, you agree. I think we're just happy agreeers here that there are levels. It's like you don't pick up your cigarette ever again.
Yeah.
so you don't pick up your pot.
No, you said it. You paused with a question mark. You added a question mark. You were like, you it's like for sure you don't pick up your cigarette. And then you stopped and looked at me and waited.
Yeah.
And I was like,
just in case.
I was like, sure, sure.
At the same time with the Coke bottle. I mean, don't they go hand in hand?
I know. It's like I do one little thing, like I drink a Coke and now she's unsure about
it. You go to the Maytag laundry, you know, and you've got the outside the Maytag, everyone that doesn't have a washing machine's got their cigarette and their don't worry, I have had many years without a washing machine.
And a tab.
Yes. Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
Okay, may I start my meat?
Or what kind of meat so we can get prepared for our digestive juices?
Yeah. I have three questions that I have thought of.
Do you want to sip my tea?
Why? Why do you want me to sip?
Because I want you to taste it and see what you think.
Okay, just as I was announcing
my
title.
Yeah, wet the whistle before. It's a little sweet. Put too much stevia in it. But just
what sort of tea is it? Milky.
It's called Serene. I got it in my stocking.
It's called Serene.
It's peaceful herbs.
It is peaceful. Is there a little lavender in there?
Yeah, and there's ashwagandha.
Oh, I can't stand lavender.
I don't like lavender.
Oh, did
drink.
You like this?
Experiment, I gave it a B- just because of the lavender.
Lavender is...
I may not have lavender.
I love the name.
I don't like to taste lavender. I like it in the air, like the smell, but drinking it tastes like...
I could grow to like that. Hey, I could grow to like that. I used to hate her yuck yum. That's why it's called yuck yum. I was like, yuck. Okay, give me some more.
Yum.
I'll be asking for more of that soon. There are three questions I realize that none of us should ever ask ourselves. And I want to go through these today because I realized throughout my life that I was asking myself these super dumb questions. And now when they come into my head, I'm like, oh, I don't ask myself that. It's just like, blip, you're out of there. So I don't even give it time. I don't give it any of my thought space. They are never to be asked. So let me start with the first one. This is kind of related to more to movement, to exercise, but probably to food prep too. So we're going to get really practical.
And we worked out these questions to Gevs.
Yes, yes, we did. But it was my idea.
Yeah, it was her idea to ask the questions.
But Serene.
10 points tick for Pearl.
But you're the one that helped me with this.
Well, I don't need the 10 points, but I just think this first question is something that's very key in my life too.
Yes, because you actually helped me with this. Because I was asking my question and I was actually going to tell the story of that. Okay, so the first question is, do I feel like doing this? Okay. So as I've mentioned a time or two here, I've been weight training, trying to regain my lean body mass that I lost through age and menopause and all of that stuff.
And trying to be light.
Yeah, and all of you are losing it if you're not gaining it, right? If you're not strength training and if you're not...
If you're past 23, you're losing it.
Pretty much.
Unless
you're strength training. Just, it's a given. We're all losing it. And so so for a while I was like, okay, well, I eat protein and I've always done my exercise ever since I was 20. I've done exercise, but I wasn't lifting heavy enough stuff to actually rebuild my muscle.
You're lifting cans.
Yeah. And because I thought I was kind of a light... I didn't think I was one of those heavy girls, lifting girls. So then I realized, oh my goodness, no, I have lost lean muscle. It was knowledge that told me. And so I'm going to regain it. So that involves workouts where I lift heavy.
She wanted to get the metabolism back of her youth. Yeah. And that's how you get your metabolism back of your youth.
But one day I had to go up.
Because your muscle eats everything.
And it was glute day, right? I've been following Carolyn Gervin on her Iron Series workout. And it was glute day. And I just, all morning, I just kept thinking, oh my goodness, it's glute lady. But do I really want to do that? Do I want to go do glute day? And every part of me did not want to do that. And I kept asking myself the question, do I want to do that? The answer kept being no. Oh, but
it's
I have to do that.
Like when you ask little children if they want broccoli.
And I was miserable because I kept asking myself the question and the answer was obviously no. Who wants to go do glute day? It hurts. Okay.
So then I said to Serene, oh, I finally went and did it, but I was kind of a bit miserable all morning because I put so much focus on the question and I have to go do that. And then, oh, I said to Serene, you know, it was really hard getting my workout done this morning because I kept asking myself, do I want to do this? And she's like, what? You asked yourself that, Pearl? What? I never ask myself if I want to do a workout. That's the one thing you never do. Now, since that day, it changed my life, Serene.
Yay.
I never abide the question. I put it out of my head. Don't ask yourself if you want to do it. You just put it in the slot and you do it.
That's right. You put it in the slot. Cha-ching.
Yeah.
You don't even think about it.
That's it's changed so much misery from my head, Danny.
Huge. Because yeah, I always ask myself and I never do it. Of course I don't feel like it.
No, you just do it like you're a zombie, that you're just a robot following orders.
Yeah, you're following orders.
You just got the information. The information, you've assented to the knowledge. You've ticked the box. You're like, yes, this is
I'm about to
what I need.
Right now.
And so, so then you just say, body, you follow this information like a robot.
How was it that I was 51 and didn't know that you weren't supposed to ask that question? I think most of us ask ourselves things all day long that we shouldn't.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you can ask yourself, do I really want to have to do prep tonight? Do I really want to have to include a salad tonight? Do I really want to?
Oh, that's something you never ask your husband. Well, not my husband. Whenever I say, hey, baby, you want to have a salad tonight or do you want to have just a bowl of chili? You never ask the salad. You give the salad.
Just it happens.
And you just put it there like he's like the honored recipient of the gift you gave him. He's like, oh, okay.
You can't not eat the salad. Your wife's just
right there like the gift. Like, but yeah, no, if I ask him, he will always say no to the salad.
So now I want to ask you something, Serene. When did you learn this concept that has changed my life of never to ask that question?
Well, because I'm a bit of a control freak and OCD, I think, in a healthy way, if you can.
Well, maybe in parts of your life
yeah,
it wasn't.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't for a while. But my brain wouldn't let me not exercise. It was a box that I was going to tick because I was a Spartan.
Yeah.
And Pearl has taught me to enjoy my life a lot more. And so I appreciate her friendship because of that. I needed her to cut the edges off of my personality, the sharp Spartan edges. So I was always going to do it. I was always going to do it. But I did used to ask the question. And like Pearl, the whole hours running up to it were filled with almost a nervousness, like I was about to go on stage and do something I didn't want to do. You know how you're going to sing a song and you know your voice is not like in top gear. You know, you got a little sinus cold and you know you can't hit the note you're going out to sing. And there's no way you're going to make it. That feeling. That little tension, I would get that for hours. And it was like almost, I think, undoing of the health results of the exercise because I felt cortisol for 3 hours before I did it. Almost like a nervous tension, almost like I had coffee and didn't have coffee, like that, the jitters. I get the jitters.
And that's a cortisol thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, for me, if I ask myself that question, some people ask themselves the question and then they just don't do the exercise because the answer is no, that will be annoying and that's going to be uncomfortable. But I'd ask the question and still know I'd have to do it.
Danny's hand.
I have a question. Can you just have like a cortisol imbalance and it's not triggered by any fear or...
We will get to that. But back to the point, we will get to that. Can we get back to that? But I just want
to
say something about this exercise thing just really quickly.
Yeah.
But it's a good point, Danny. Since I haven't asked that question, Pearl...
And how many years has that been?
Oh, over a decade.
Since you told me that 10 years
ago. Since I haven't asked that question, I don't get any nervousness about any form of exercise. And actually, I super enjoy my exercise, super enjoy it. And it was kind of like the thing I learned from you, Pearl, to just enjoy life more. And so the thing that was making me not enjoy it was not the exercise really, because I had such great feelings afterwards too. And there's parts of the exercise during that I enjoyed. So the really only thing I didn't enjoy was the lead up.
Yeah, the lead up. It's lead the up. Worst.
So
part
I have
hours
just muted the lead up.
Yeah, you just turn it on to mute.
The break-in's tough too. Like my first 5 push-ups, I'm miserable.
Yeah, right.
It's just 5 push-ups. Once I'm broken in, I can just crank it.
So true. Like, once no the sweat deal. Comes,
yeah.
It's once like, let's get sweaty all the way now.
And yeah, I, you yeah, know, I'll
what
dive
was
in.
Really interesting was I put... you know, on our treasure hunters group, I was like, so what, hey, let's all share what gets us to
we'll get
to
back
do
to your
movement.
Thing though.
Yes,
it's a good
we'll
thing.
Remember the yeah, cortisol.
Yeah. I wasn't trying to be rude.
What you gets were. Us to do movement? Tell us, you know, what has been successful in your life? What thought pathways? And one woman said, I never tell myself I have to do the whole thing. Sort of like the one push-up. She said, I'm going to say, I'm going to go upstairs or I'm going to go to my workout room and she does videos. I'm going to turn out and I'm just going to do 5 minutes of a workout video. She's like, it's never 5 minutes. I finish it.
Yeah.
But I
yeah,
just
yeah.
say, oh, it's just going to be a little bit.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and she's right in a sense because it's just 5 minutes of breaking in.
Yeah. It's that's, the breaking. Yeah. Well, that's, yeah, that's the worst part. And then once you've broken in, oh, you're fine.
That's actually great to say, I'm just going to work out for 5 minutes, tricking yourself, knowing yeah. you're going to keep going. Yeah. Because yeah. that's a different you once you break the
yeah.
sweat.
Yeah, it, yep. It's, like right. a, new it's mind. A different you.
Yeah. And then the other thing that helps me too, and I've shared this a little bit on the Treasure Hunters Pearl where you posted that.
Yeah.
Did a little bit of a live about it. My second thing that's really helped me, besides from muting, and that's been the biggest thing, muting the whole talk around exercise. I don't have any discussions about it in my head. It's just to me now there's no one talking about it in my head yeah. anymore. I just have the knowledge that it's the greatest thing I need to do. That's it.
Yeah.
It's all muted. But as soon as they, now it won't work for people that are going off to work, right? And who are going to have to exercise maybe before breakfast or whatever. But for me, because I do a lot of my before lunchtime at home, as soon as I get up, I put my shoes on that match that exercise I'm doing that day.
Oh.
Because I don't exercise till about 10:30. But as soon as I get up at 6:30 or 7, if it's my weightlifting day, I put my weightlifting shoes on.
See, you're one of those people.
And so my feet are telling me for the next 3 hours, Serene, you're about to walk.
That's Atomic Habits right there, that book. That's like exactly,
wow.
Facilitate your yeah. habit.
My feet tell me.
She's one of those people.
And I know
though.
I can't take these off until I've done the workout because I'm not going to wear my weightlifting shoes.
And not work.
You know, and not, and no, but go to a meeting later on or yeah. whatever. So I see those and they just tell me what I'm going to do. I just follow my shoes. And then on my sprint days, as soon as I get up, I put my sneakers on, my runners, yeah. and I know that.
But, okay, so Dani, she is one of those people. She came to that on her own, but we can learn from those people. Those people write books and have podcasts.
Exactly. That's like, you guys know who David Goggins is?
I've heard the name.
I mean, this man is just on record. He has the Guinness Book World Record for the most push-ups. Pull-ups. He did 4,036 pull-ups in under 17 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
That's like,
what was his body type though? He must be like
exactly what you picture to be able to pull that off.
Right, because my tall husband, no matter how muscular he would get, to pick that big body up so many times, it's now like they're not going to be on the Guinness.
He went from a big overweight dude to a shredded, like picture-perfect classic specimen of like Greek masculine strength.
With pull-ups.
Yeah, and so he holds the pull-up record. He runs hundreds of miles, toenails coming off. He'll stop mid-run for a chiropractor to snap his ankles back in place, keep running. And he's just known for this type of mentality.
Right.
Like he does things that are sort of superhuman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then every day, if you follow his Instagram, it's him running, looking sideways at the camera, talking about how you need to get after it and kill that inner complainer. He uses a different word.
Yeah.
You know, that inner complainer in you that is sabotaging your life. And because he exists, like, I'm not going to go David Goggins ever.
Right.
But because he exists as what's possible and how you could think, like, he's needed in the world.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he stands at the gate for us and he suffers on our behalf. Not that Serene's suffering, but I'm saying there's those people who can, like a machine, execute their thing morning, noon, and night, all throughout the year, holidays observed. They can do it and they stand as these what's possible.
Yeah, and we need them because we can glean from them.
Another thing, though, that helps me, and probably nobody else, maybe you can't do this, but maybe you can. Like, if you have any say in the way your day is ordered, like, Pearl, you try and do it too. I'm like, Pearl, if we're going to do meetings, they're always got to be after lunch.
Yeah.
Because in the morning, I have this schooling with the children, I have this, and that. And I slot my exercise in that AM before 12. And I know if I fill that with meetings, for my life,
yeah,
it's not going to happen. So, definitely. I mean, everybody can't do that. And then they would change, they would do their own thing. Okay, yeah. So, you know, when I get home in the evening, it's going to be slotted mm-hmm. in, or, you know, I'm going to go to bed early. So every a.m. at 6, I'm doing, you know. But I think knowing when your time is.
Yes.
I think when you're willy-nilly and say, at some moment today, I will catch the right
time.
No,
you've got to have a slot.
You slot it.
Oh, if you say, I'm going to exercise at some point today, the worst. You're not going to exercise at some point today.
You got to put it on your calendar.
You know, you got to have a time frame. It doesn't have to be super like at, you know, 10:34 a.m.
But mid-morning,
I exercise. It needs to be a slot. Yeah.
So you put on your shoes for the right day. But so when you put on your Birkenstocks and socks.
Like, that's after I've exercised, man.
Where are you headed?
Okay. I'm heading to the pod.
Okay.
I'm headed to the pod. Okay. I'm headed to town. Okay. I'm headed to... To do.
Hey, we're 28 minutes.
But I do want to say this really.
Two more questions.
Right, good. But can I just say one more thing? Yes. Just one more thing.
It's your podcast.
Just another thing that helps me too. And everyone knows this. It's just so simple. But I think is just kind of like dialing out the distractions that kind of lose your focus, and then dialing in those things that put you in the groove. Like, so for me, it sounds awful because I love my children so much. But when children are walking in with fights and saying, he stole my rubber band and blah, 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 I could be in the middle of a squat and I just want to drop the whole barbell. Like, it's just all my oomph goes, right?
Yeah.
So it's so terrible. If I was a real good organized mother, I would have them doing like, you know, gluing pop stickers together and doing arts and crafts. But I'm not organized enough. So it's the only time my young children are allowed to watch the screens.
Yeah.
And so they watch their little screens while I'm working out. And it's just like, so not a great babysitter. But to me, the priority of me getting my workout done, I'm a better mother to them for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
And so they have their screen time.
Hats off to these chicks doing crafts with the kids, though, right?
Hands off.
I never did
hands
the crafts.
Dude. Oh,
like, I tried like the David to do Goggins. The crafts.
Of their world.
And the music, that's how I zone in. Like, I'm not one of those people that wears I can't have anything on my head or I feel claustrophobic while I'm exercising, but I have my little phone. I can't.
That's horrid, yeah.
Yeah, but I have my phone and like...
Okay, but can I get to my next questions?
Because but don't you think, though, that music makes a diff?
I don't listen to the music.
For working out?
Oh, I just follow my little videos, whatever music.
Yeah, well, her music's gone. Yeah,
okay,
she's got it already.
Well, that works, yeah.
But, okay, so the next question was, what about his cortisol question? Put that to the end of the pod.
Just a fast answer.
Okay, the fast answer was, excess cortisol? More than usual? Yes. If you're under a lot of stress, if you think stressful thoughts, if you lose your sex hormones, like if you're a woman and your estrogen declines,
or your testosterone's
or
down.
Even your testosterone declines if you're a man, because then your adrenal glands have to take over. So you churn out more cortisol and it kind of sits on your belly. So yes, the three things to do about that are stop thinking stressful thought pathways. That's number one, really, because that churns out cortisol.
And exercise. Put on those exercise shoes and just like follow through with your exercise.
Yes, and eat your carbs. If you do not eat carbs, your cortisol rises.
Of course, I said exercise, but over-exercising raises your cortisol.
I mean, if you're going for like a full day without... Actually, they did this study. It's really interesting. And they followed a bunch of perimenopausal women who tend to have excess cortisol because the sex hormones are coming down. And they followed them and they found out those that did not eat breakfast but did not have a carb at their breakfast too. So the ones that ate a carb at breakfast and did eat breakfast did the best cortisol. But the ones that did not eat breakfast had a cortisol spike that elevated all day long and wouldn't come down.
Wow.
So that's especially for women, because women have to be fed or their cortisol rises.
Gotta feed
men
them.
Are a little different. Some men can go without food for a little longer than women, but you got to feed a woman.
You know, Garfield said, love me, feed me, say you'll never leave me.
Mm, there you go, profound. Danny.
And, I thought he summed up what a woman wants.
Hey, the pretty second profound. Question you never ask yourself is all this worth it?
Oh.
So I think so many people ask that question when they're doing things for their health, like they're doing that prep in the kitchen, and maybe they kind of aren't loving the prep because they haven't formed thought pathways that this is actually living life. This is the ultimate part
maybe
of my
life. Maybe
they've
joined a milk co-op to make their kefir or something, and then they're having to do the collection of all the 15 families on that one day. And it's like, is this all worth
it? Okay, so some things aren't worth it. But I say, if this is about your health and if you've not overdoing things, like I think sometimes it's not worth it if you're putting too much busy stuff into your life for your health. So streamline it. Don't overcomplicate things. But then once you've got your basic sweatpants meals, like I can do this over and over again. Yes, it takes a little bit of prep. You never, ever ask yourself from that time, is it worth it?
Right.
Because the question, there's already an answer to that question.
Right.
It is absolute 100%. Yes, it's worth it. And if you don't do it, there are repercussions. So you choose to never ask yourself that question.
Right. I totally agree. And in going back to the beginning of your question, saying sometimes you ask yourself and you think, okay, yeah, this is too much. But that's when you're wheedling out the weeds of what you meant.
The essence, okay, is looking after my health. Like, is eating food honoring, body honoring food choices worth it? Never ask yourself that again. Yes.
My point being is exercise worth it? Yes. Is getting a gym membership, and some people love it, but is getting a gym membership and I'm 30 minutes away, driving 30 minutes through traffic, then working out for 45 minutes, driving back through traffic, and like I'd be thinking to myself, is it worth to take an extra hour out of my family and out of everything just to be part of this gym, right? To me, in my life, I'd say, no, it's not worth it. Like slowly buy a dumbbell every 2 months. You know?
Right. But for some people that need that social aspect and that's where they get to be with their friends and exercise, that is worth it. So I think.
But the overarching question you never ask yourself is exercise worth it?
No. Or is eating healthy worth it?
Yes.
You just don't. It is going to take some
time. It's already been answered.
Yes. It's already been answered. Don't ask it again. It's so dumb. It's so dumb. It will ruin you.
It's so true.
It is.
I love
it. It's going to ruin you, that question.
Yes.
You can figure out the fine details of what complications are worth it.
Yeah, like trying to sort out a fight between your husband and you. And like, no, you got to go through the, you know, like you got to go through the misunderstandings.
Yeah.
You know, and go through the technicality of the conversation so that they can hear your heart or whatever. And sometimes it feels like it gets more messy before it gets clean. You don't ask yourself if it's worth it because it's so worth it.
Yeah.
Right? That extra time and effort is so worth it.
Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene.
This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y.
So then my number three question is, and this happens to me a lot, but I'm going to break it. Do I have to keep doing this? This happens to me when I'm kind of in the middle of a workout, especially those first 5 minutes, Danny. And it feels really foreign to what I really want to be doing, which is sitting on a lovely couch, drinking a lovely warm cup of coffee.
My serene tea.
Yes, yeah, something like that, but opposite to whatever I'm doing now, which is pushing my body to limits that it kind of doesn't naturally want to go to.
Do you know when the question comes? When you're in the hardest push of your weight workout, or you're at the end of your glycogen, like you've got no energy left in your muscles and you're at the last 2 seconds of your sprint or something, or when you're in the dying cockroach position or something on your workout, that's when your brain wants to ask that question. When you're in the most pain, it wants to say, imagine yourself doing it the next Friday.
Yes.
And the next time it's slotted in, you never look at those future slots.
No, because I think to myself during those times, and I ask myself, I have to do this again tomorrow, and then I'm going to do it Thursday. I'm nuts. Like, if I think about the question while I'm doing it, I think, no, I never, ever, ever want to do this again.
And now my brain yells out, sufficient today is the evil thereof.
Yes. Yes. But that's why you should never allow yourself to do it. Because at the end of that workout, or at the end of whatever you are struggling with, you feel amazing. You feel like, yes, I do want to do that again on Thursday.
And if that question gets accidentally asked, right?
Yeah.
And we don't like it when it gets asked, and we try and shut the question down. But if it gets out in our brain before we shut it down, I always tell myself, Serene, this is like less than an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, always. How many hours are you going to be sitting on your tuft for the rest of the day?
Yeah.
You know, you have to rebuttal with it. Well, will I have to do this tomorrow? Well, you'll be sitting for 12 hours tomorrow.
You know, you could easily scroll on your phone for 45 minutes or 20 minutes or however long your workout turns out to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Colossally wasting time.
But it just feels like, man, you just like, I'm putting so much, it feels like time has stopped and you are doing this, you know, kind of, in a way, painful thing. You are forcing your muscles to do things and you think, I never, ever want to continue this. It's nuts. It's craziness. You know what?
What's funny is those are all great questions for stuff you shouldn't be doing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like,
and your brain never asks.
Do I want to keep doing
them.
This?
Yeah. But your brain never,
but never
asks that.
Yeah, never
it doesn't.
Yeah, it just never
yeah,
does.
Yeah, like, because if I'm sitting scrolling on the phone wasting time, my brain never tells me, do I have to keep doing this?
Is this what you want? Yeah. Is this what you want?
Yes.
But, you know, think about the things that you do every day that you just know you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Brushing your teeth. I really don't enjoy it. But I don't allow myself, my brain to say, do I have to do this tomorrow and then the next day? Because if I did, I'd start to get depressed in life. I'd just do it.
But like the knowledge of the rotting teeth is just clear enough in your brain.
Yeah, you have to do that. It's okay, making my bed too. So now that I'm a bed maker, and I've just been really growing into this. Those of you that have listened to the potty for many years know that I was a baby stepper into it, and I failed and I failed and failed until I took on the identity. And then started making my bed, but even when I was a bed maker, I went several days in between sometimes, but I'm like, no, I'm still a bed maker. I'm not quitting. I'm going back to it. But now I'm a true bed maker where it's such a part of me. When I see my unmade bed, I'm like, how on earth did that happen? I'm a bed maker and I just go make it straight away.
Mm-hmm.
But at first I asked myself, when I was in the midst of making that bed, I hated it. I don't know. I just don't like making beds.
You'd say,
right?
Is it worth it?
Is it? Do I have to do this every single day?
I'm just going to mess it up again.
Yeah. And then till I stopped asking myself the dumb question and just did it. I mean, it's just like make no room in my brain for the questions that would inhibit this really good thing in my life, because it's a good thing in my life. It makes me feel grand about myself. And guess what? I sent this to my son. I was scrolling through Instagram the other day. And there was this thing that said, people who make their bed are, I think it was 2,000 times more likely to become millionaires or something. And my son's all about, you know, making money and things like that. I sent that to him. And he's like, oh, Mary and I decided we're making our beds.
Nice.
So funny.
He went and made it. And then she made it the next day.
Yeah.
But it does give you a sense of, put that your life is not just a shamble. For me,
mm-hmm.
when I see my made bed, I think my life is kind of put together. It helps me. I don't know what it is. You might not need it. I don't put this on anyone.
Exercise does that to me. When I feel like I'm walking up the stairs and I feel the muscle that has been worked, like you feel the tension that's left over in it, like you feel
that
work, I think to myself, oh, for the rest of the day, I'm a mountain mover. Like, you know, your posture, you stand better.
Yes, you do.
You are a different person. You are strong. You think strong.
Yep.
It's just, and so for me, I mean, it's worth it for the after effect that goes hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. But I love your whole concept, Pearl, with all these three questions. We mute the noise that doesn't work for us, right?
Yes.
Stupid questions.
Yeah.
I find when I get up early, like super early, shower, get ready, and then I'm just absurdly ready early,
mm-hmm.
I feel like a king by like 9 a.m. yeah. because I've accomplished so much mm-hmm. with no distraction. And I'm just like, of course I ruin it because I'm like, I've done all I should do today. And at 9 o'clock, I'm like, time to watch movies. will do that.
This is a funny thing. Like our mom, like, because we enjoy watching things on a screen at night, but our mom did not. She raised
that
us.
That was a long way to
she
say
always,
movie.
She always said,
a screen, watching no, things at no, screen, on
no
screens
movie
at night.
Or TV in the day. So our thing was we could watch things at night, but the day is not.
If it's light outside,
for TV or movie.
Yeah, unless you are almost in the grave, the screen doesn't go on in the day.
Yeah, we grew up with that. And now, like, my husband's like, come, you know, Saturday afternoon, come watch a movie with me, Pearl. And I'm like, oh, but it's daytime. Don't do that.
Yes.
I mean, it's foreign.
It's gone to our family too. Yeah.
I can't do it. My children can't do it.
Yeah.
Did you guys fight your mom over media when you were younger? Or was it just a rule?
There was no media. Was it? It was like a phone on the wall.
A big rotary. Yeah.
I mean, sometimes we'd want to come home from school, remember, and watch cartoons.
Watch the Brady Bunch. I remember that. Charles in Charge.
I think about five, sometimes we'd be allowed to watch Brady Bunch or something. But the day, daylight hours, you weren't watching things. And I kind of love it. I kind of love being that way now where I've kind of learned to relax at night, but the day has been getting stuff done.
Did you feel like the weird kids in the group though when you were younger?
I mean,
or did you ever notice it?
Yeah.
No, I felt cool.
Yeah. I mean, I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it because mom always didn't give us just the rule. She gave us like instead of like watching people on a screen doing amazing stuff, you're going to be the one doing amazing stuff.
She spoke life into us like almost too much life. Like, you're going to be you're so amazing. All the things you're going to accomplish. And
she would write on the toilet walls.
Nice.
You know, the world waits to see what comes out of 18 Welby Street. Like,
that was our address.
Yeah.
I'm going to write it on my mirror at home.
Yeah.
I love that.
So I don't even know how we got onto TV. And all of that. But I feel like we're done. Don't ask yourself those three dumb questions.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Trim Healthy Mom on my way. And then I'll be
Trim Healthy Mama to stay. Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.